When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. Time. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show. But yeah, you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. You want to listen to it ad-free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even. For $55, you can get a whole year of Office Hours entertainment.
$55? How much? You can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right?
You would pay. You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like it to laugh. I like having fun to
what
meet
is this?
People who laugh.
Not along the street. All right. Enough. Fade it down, guys. Fade it down. Jesus. Why does this just fade it down?
Typically, it's the part where
this is the longest intro music of any program, yet this is not the most successful program, and you have no reason. Stop it!
Hello.
Jesus. All right. Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Office Hours Live. Tim Heidecker is not here this week, as you may have noticed. So we have myself.
Hi there.
Trying to really salvage what is a very somber, sad situation. Unfortunately, with Tim not here, there's really no option but for the show to be really disappointing or of poor quality, because you guys are used to working with him. You can't just replace a beloved host with anybody, with a random person, any more than you can, if your dog runs away, you can't just go get another dog. And so what we're looking at is trying to keep things moving here, but the odds are against us, folks. I brought in some of my rock and roll friends to try to spice things up, liven it up with that type of energy, but I'm feeling that we're already at a big disadvantage. These guys were in a bad mood.
Yeah!
Stop! Stop that.
Well, typically, have you seen the show before,
no.
Neil?
No, I haven't. But I wouldn't watch a show where people keep interrupting with obnoxious sounds. They didn't do that on the Tonight Show, I can tell you that.
Thanks.
He didn't have a couple of assholes behind a desk putting crap in his ears so he can't focus
on
the job at hand, which is to try to interview the guests.
We're just a couple of McMen.
Anyway, we've got a lot of special things here, despite some of the technical issues we're having with Doug's god-awful music blaring in my ear.
Dismissed.
We're going to give away a T-shirt, I think, and talk to our guests.
We're giving away a T-shirt?
Well, I don't know.
You just assumed something like that would happen?
We're going to give away a T-shirt.
Okay.
So people can call in for the T-shirt, and I guess we'll take the 10th call, gets the T-shirt, I guess. I don't know. Do we have a phone? Stop it! Stop. Don't do that.
Do you want to go to a call to see if they win the shirt?
No. We've got some guests here today. We actually have several guests. That's how you do it. That's how you put on a show that people want to watch. It's not by having Claptrap blare in the ears of not only the host, probably the viewers as well. And then we'll do our T-shirt giveaway. And we're also possibly going to give away some timeshare condominium vouchers as well that Vic is involved with. Should I just walk out the door and you guys can play your garbage music?
Neil, you're doing great. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. We just kind of like to add a little spice to the show. So
this spice is more like monosodium glutamate. This is not a good spice. This isn't cumin. You don't play garbage music in someone's ear.
MSG actually makes food taste better. So
no, it doesn't.
I would take
it
that
stimulates
as a compliment, right,
the taste buds. It's sort of an artificial feeling. It's like ramming a candle up your ass, you know. That's not ideal as opposed to, you know, some sort of romantic relationship.
What,
stop! Okay, we've got... Should we just do the... We've got some guests here today.
Make me laugh. Go.
What?
Let's talk... Sorry, we'll talk to the guests.
You know,
now.
You guys should be fired.
Fire well, up. We can't be. We have tenure.
You don't come on to a show and have two, quite frankly, obnoxious. And they seem like nice guys, but then they're playing this stuff. Very nice beforehand. They offered me a cup of tea, I can turn you off. Okay. We've got we've got several guests here today. I guess we can talk. Did we have to do anything else?
You can talk to our guests, sure, yeah.
All right.
Intro music.
We got a couple guys here from a couple Well, I guess you'd call these bad boy bands, the bad boys of rock type of music, Mr. Bungle and the Melvins. We've got Trevor Dunn over here on the left. I guess it's his right. And then on my right, we've got Buzz Osborne from the Melvins,
yeah.
A group that, honestly, I got maced at one of your shows. So that wasn't a good experience, but the music was fine. It was just, you don't want to be listening to it while you're trying to pull your eyes out of your skull because someone has sprayed mace in your
face.
Why
did you get maced, Neil?
Well, this was at a house, or an apartment, really. It was a Halloween party in San Francisco in the Mission, which is a filthy, filthy part of town. And some weirdo, honestly, came up into this. And these people, why would you have a house where you have a party with 500 people crammed into your apartment? Of course, the toilets are overflowing and everything's a mess. And then some weirdo off the street comes in and he honestly started groping one of these girls that was just there. And myself and another person went and said, hey, you can't do this. And he pulled out the mace and sprayed us in the face. And then ran down the stairs. Well, you were oblivious. You were playing your music in the living room. Do you remember this show?
I think it was high.
Okay, well, that's a possibility. So you are one of the bad boys of rock.
Oh, yeah.
What constitutes a bad boy rock band? Are you guys in bad? What is it? What's a bad boy rock band?
We don't care about anything.
So it's just a hate. Hate everybody.
Hate. Our hate knows no bounds.
So you hate the audience.
Hate everyone.
Hate the other people in the band.
Started with our parents.
And there's a bad boy rock band. I mean, do they drink? Do they throw up? What do they do? Do they cramp on stage? What? Who is a bad boy? Is it Rolling Stones? Is that a bad boy band?
They drink their throw up.
They drink their throw up. So that's like AC/DC. That guy, he was a bad boy.
That's yeah. Right.
He's gone. And I went to his grave. So I think you were there.
That's right.
We went to his grave in Perth, Australia.
That's right.
On a Mr. Bungle tour.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle, we jumped a fence.
Yep.
Well, we didn't drink our vomit. But what? So,
but
what
you
some,
would.
What is it like? Who are some of the bad boys? The bad boy rock bands.
Yeah, I don't really pay much attention. Do you?
Is it a drug addiction? How do you become a bad boy? A bad boy band.
How do you become? You know, it's just an attitude thing.
It's a bad attitude.
You kind of grow into it. Horrible teachers. Horrible parents, horrible people surrounding you.
Like the management.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, this is bad. This is reggae. This isn't rock and roll. You guys are screwing up the cues. Can we get some bad boy rock? Bad boy rock and roll.
Ray Davies and the Kinks.
That, there we go.
Don't fucking trust
Ray Davies.
But to me, the bad boy rock sounds like children. So that's embarrassing. For these guys, especially you get the Rolling Stones, they're old as hell and they're acting like children.
They never grew up.
I think NSYNC is more of a bad boy.
They're bad. What do they do that was so
right.
bad?
Isn't that a bad boy band or isn't that what they're called?
I mean, they're a boy, but it's bad music.
Right.
Maybe that's all
definitely
it refers
bad music.
To. Are they're bad? It's just bad music.
That's the bad part.
So you guys together did a tour. Now, I'm impressed with this because I've done a lot of shows, as you guys know. But not as many as the Melvins. These guys are in the Guinness Book of World Records, I'm pretty sure.
We drank a lot of Guinness.
Who are the funding? They fund the record book.
They do, which tells you how legitimate it really is.
That the beer company.
Yeah, it's a beer company.
Tracking.
But we didn't.
The longest
we aren't actually in it, right?
We were told after we set the record, we were told we had to pay to be in the record book.
You're kidding me.
No.
The last show of that tour was in Hawaii, and we were supposed to fly out someone from Guinness and pay them thousands of dollars in order to.
And so there is no God.
And we said no. The record was we played all 50 states plus DC in 51 days, and we did it.
And they did it, and so you drove through 48 states and flew to a couple of them.
Started in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then where did you go from Alaska?
Seattle. There's one flight.
So you flew from flight. Alaska to Seattle.
There's one flight at 2 in the morning to Seattle from Alaska. So we played our show and left. That's what we did.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The same night.
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst show of that 50 state?
They were all bad.
There had to be a worst one.
You mean
Worst state. Most of them are about what you'd expect. Like a Tuesday night in South Dakota would it be about what you would expect.
Okay.
You know?
West Virginia. Where
West Virginia was good. It was raging. People on a combination of crystal meth and cheap vodka.
And the stage was about 2 feet high. And I remember I was playing upright bass in this version of the band. And I was worried the whole show that my bass and myself were going to get crushed because the crowd was right up against us and they were out of their minds.
What about Wyoming? Nobody goes to Wyoming. I've never done a show there.
Oh God, I remember
Cheyenne. We played Cheyenne.
It was like a community center with a bar in the back, right? Was that
yeah.
the place?
Yeah. It was great. It was a really good show. We haven't been back, but I would go back. It was better than you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
That place, you know.
I find that with some of the smaller places that they're better than you think.
And you never know.
The bigger ones are worse.
You never know.
Sometimes you know. People are they're hungry, as they say.
Yeah, that was a fun tour, and it's like, you know, once you get into about show 46, 47, you're like, if something happens now, there's no goddamn way I'm doing this again. So we have to finish this.
And we did, in the last week, we got 2 flat tires.
In one
right?
day.
Yeah, and we almost didn't make it to
Phoenix,
that's right.
Was it the same nail? Because you could have a tack or a nail, and you run over it the first tire, and then the one right behind it hits it.
There's 2 front tires.
Okay.
I think somebody did it on purpose. That's what we think. So that's what I think.
Did you have any trouble with law enforcement on this tour?
I always have trouble with law enforcement. It never fails, you know. If someone's going to get randomly searched, it's going to be me.
When you guys are on tour and you're selling a lot of T-shirts, I'm sure, probably more than CDs. That's what I hate about audiences. Don't buy the T-shirt, buy the album. That's what we put our work into. We don't care about the stinking T-shirt. Don't buy it. But you probably sell a lot of the T-shirts anyway, and a lot of the records
amount,
and souvenirs, and you collect all this cash. You're carrying around all this cash. Did you ever get pulled over by the police and be the victim of the asset forfeiture?
Never had that happen, no. But I did get pulled over we got pulled over at a hunter's checkpoint.
Ooh.
And they tore the entire van apart, but fortunately at that point we didn't have any, didn't have a lot of money on us, but they were looking for everything.
Because you've got to watch out now, except in Nebraska and New Mexico and one other state, I don't remember. The police, if they find cash, they can say, we think this is probably drug money, so we're going to keep it. And if you want to get it back, you have to prove that it's not. And
people not
lose
drug
money all the yeah, it's horrible. Look it up, asset forfeiture.
No, I'm sure.
It's horrible. Oklahoma is the worst.
Oklahoma.
They'll do it to you all the time. So you got to get rid of your cash. And
that's
you can
not
get
hard
it back,
us.
But you got to get a lawyer, and you're going to lose half the cash anyway. And what they just do this because they know they can do it. And
we
it's
just
awful.
We just spend it on frivolous shit as soon as we get it. So we don't
like
have to
at
worry
the
about
gas
it.
Stations.
Yeah, exactly. Anything frivolous.
Fig Newtons.
Frivolously blow it on garbage.
Stickers.
Anything. Yeah. One time we were in Vegas, and we lost $7,000 in one hand of blackjack. All cash.
I was waiting. I knew he would have something for that. Was good. These are getting better. Now you're not playing the Grateful Dead. I'm starting to enjoy the sounds in my ear.
And that was the only hand of blackjack we played in Vegas. And we walked out.
So you just put down $7,000.
Boom, done. Lost it, gone.
So you are one of the bad boys of rock and roll.
That's it.
Actually, this is not related to either of us, really. But I know a guy who was on tour with a band, and the whole tour he was saying, when I get to Vegas, I'm going to put all the money I make on this tour on Red 17. And they got to Vegas, and, you know, I don't know, he had like, it was like a jazz group or something, so he didn't have
he had about
much
$8
money.
Bucks.
Yeah. No, he had several thousand dollars, but he chickened out, and instead he just put like $5 on, and he hit Red 17.
What a wow. dumbass.
Yeah, what a jerk. And he's out of your life. You cut him out of your
life.
I hope
so.
That was it, yeah.
You never played with him again, right?
I did a tour with a rock and roll band. And this was like 30 shows.
What band?
All over
what band?
I can't give the name because it's a humiliating story for
White them. Snake?
It's a band you never heard of.
Whitesnake.
Yeah, it was Whitesnake. Anyway, these guys, they did the whole tour, and it was like one show to go out of 30 shows. and they stopped to get gas in Canada, and they had their little cash bag, and they went in and paid for the gas, and the guy left the cash bag on the counter, and then they drove, and 100 miles later, he said, "Oh, shit, we blew it." They drove back, and the gas station attendant said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And that was that, a month down the toilet for these idiots.
They didn't beat it out of him?
No, these guys were—they weren't bad boys.
Well, you know, one thing—they were like the Canadians don't have guns, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but they have fists.
And there was more of them. There's only one guy. They just let him rip them off.
It was a trio. It was a trio.
They just let him rip them off.
Right, you were touring with Rush, and they left their cash on the counter.
That's what happened.
Rush, there's a band we've never heard of.
Rush, I did a show with a guy from Rush.
We played with Rush.
Where was this?
We did some shows in California with him a long time ago.
California, Canada?
Yeah, California, Canada. Yeah, it's on the East Coast.
And how?
It's all French.
How was that? What happened? Tell
it
me.
It was terrible. They were a bunch of assholes. No, the two guys were nice, but the drummer never said a word to us. Nothing. It's like we weren't even there. And they said he was sick. That's why he couldn't talk to us. And that's when I knew that he was a heroin addict. Because what else could it be?
I mean,
I saw the documentary. Apparently, he's just got, he's shy.
He's dead now.
He's introverted.
Shy in the rock world is the key for heroin.
That means heroin? Okay.
He's shy. That's all you know. Oh, he's another one of these shy guys. Axl Rose is very shy.
Is he? Not on stage. He saves his energy.
He's a heroin addict.
Okay.
Right. Shy actually stands for strung out on heroin. Yo.
Who are some of the old school entertainers that were heroin addicts? You got any?
Just name one. Name one.
Like Don Rickles?
Heroin addict. Fully heroin addict.
Don Rickles still
the
probably.
Worst. One of the worst heroin addicts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's so angry.
He's dead.
So the stress.
Angry and dead.
Finally died from his addiction. How was he? Oh, was it 100? I think he was 100.
I did see Don Rickles once. He seemed fine. He didn't seem on drugs.
That's because you were on drugs.
I was not.
Speaking
of
drugs.
I was never on drugs.
Remember what happened in Denver when we pulled up to our hotel?
Gosh, no. You know,
speaking
of drugs.
Speaking of drugs, so we checked into
our
hotel.
On the 50 and 51 tour.
Yeah, this was early,
it was relatively early in the tour.
We checked into the hotel, which was like a Holiday Inn. Just
type
outside
of hotel, yeah.
Like a Holiday Inn, that means a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, it might have been.
And then did the show, and then...
But not a super fancy hotel by any means.
Right,
you know?
Right.
A road hotel.
Holiday Inn is pretty fancy.
But not by, you know, okay, well, you'll see. You'll see what we mean.
So then we do the show, then we drive back to go to sleep at the hotel, and we get there, and there's a huge entourage of... There's a detour into the hotel, there's all these... people checking under the van for bombs. There's dogs.
An army of black SUVs.
Yeah, and we have no idea what's going on. And then
what
like,
the fuck?
Then somebody remembered, like, oh, right, Obama's in town right now. He's in Denver. Maybe, you know, we're just kind of joking around. Then we get out, we go into the hotel, and they got
they make us go through metal detector
like you're at an airport.
Yeah, full on.
And our sound guy, we're in line to go through the metal detector, and our sound guy's like, oh, shit, somebody gave me some weed at the show. And
somebody gave me weed. I love that, because he certainly wouldn't buy any weed.
So he actually told one of the security personnel,
weed.
He's like, hey, I have some weed in my pocket. And they kind of talked amongst each other for a moment, and then they said...
Then they divvied it up.
Then they said, we don't care about that, just go,
go ahead.
So was it Obama, or was it just blind men?
It was Obama.
It was Obama, the whole top floor. It was one of those hotels...
Fucking Obama!
It was one of those hotels that had a big, what do you call it, like a circular...
yeah, like a balcony at the top, you could see all the way up, you know?
And the top floor was completely covered in a black curtain, and there were these... sketchy looking, you know, men in black stationed all around.
Everywhere. And Obama, us.
It's the same stuff Blind Melon does.
So here's the thing. He's the president, and that's the best they can do for him.
Everything else was booked.
Everything else was booked. The reservations fell through. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. I'd be pissed. Put me on Air Force One right now. I ain't staying in this fucking place. No way.
Well, some of the chains, you know, there's an inconsistency. That Holiday Inn might have been better, than a Four Seasons. You don't know.
Might have been.
You know, there's no.
But then we thought, well, that would be the last place that you would imagine
the
president would be staying.
Right. Hide in plain sight. That's a theory.
Yeah.
Which hotel chains do you think have gone to seed during the time that you've been a touring musician?
Motel 6.
Yes.
It should be $6 because that's what it's worth.
Because they put the parolees in there now. Long-term parole. And the drug addicts that you were talking about earlier. The drug addicts and also some of the child molesters that can't get a home because then they end up on the sex registry, and then people are like, I don't want this guy in this neighborhood, so they put him in the Motel 6. It's
makes
bad.
Sense.
They
sense.
Did they even do the ads still that talk about bringing your family there? Because that's
I don't watch TV. Depends on the family.
I suppose so.
Is that the one that leaving the light on all the time and wasting the
leave
energy?
Leave the light on.
Yes. Leave the light on so you can don't
that's
step the, in the syringe.
That's for the cockroaches. It's for the cockroaches. We leave the light on so the cockroaches hide.
That's why.
That's what it is. You know you're all right. You turn that thing off, you're in big trouble.
But they did rip up the carpeting now. The Motel 6s have a wooden floor, which is easier because then they're not soaked in semen and vomit. And
it's easier to wipe up the
drug residue.
The black tar heroin
blood
comes right off.
Black tar heroin.
They just go in there in the morning with a huge, with bleach, just spray the whole thing down.
Yeah.
The hose.
Can you guys play some little sounds?
Yeah.
I guess that. I guess they're called sound.
They won't do it now.
Sound bits or sound. Here we go.
There you go.
That would sort of give our viewers and listeners sort of the experience of being very sick from drug addiction and checking into one of these Motel 6 hotels.
Just play Guns N' Roses.
I got it right here.
There it is. There it is. That's it.
Ooh.
Boom!
Really, truly unpleasant.
That was a nauseating sound collage.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but
should we not do the city of the day? Yet?
We've got to do the city of the day. We've got to do the city.
We got to do the city of the day, guys.
Sorry. City of the day, which I'm sure these guys have played in the city of the day. City of the Day is brought to you today by our sponsor, Three Dog Night Dog Food. Three Dog Night is an American band who have been satisfying audiences since 1967. Now they've teamed up with top veterinarians to develop Three Dog Night Dog Food, gourmet canned chunks that are satisfying hungry dogs across the land. Mama told me not to come over without a can. Spread joy to the world by picking up a case today from your favorite pet food retailer and selected music stores. Anyway,
Dog Night.
Dog, yes.
What's the city?
I see that it's made
city
out of recycled circus elephants. Is that what?
Hopefully.
Well, they're getting scraps from the renderer, so that could include euthanized pets. Could include deceased circus elephants.
So elephants is good for, that's a healthy meat for a dog?
Well, when you're rendering meat, it no longer really is distinguishable, and so the nutritional content is gone. It's just the oils and the fats. So really, the circus elephant is going to be as useful to eat as the euthanized dog would be when it comes to pet food.
I have a question for you, Neil. Will this dog food help your dog go number two? Because one is the loneliest number.
One.
That's a Three Dog Night song, right?
So yep. One is the loneliest number in the toilet bowl, is what you're saying?
Right, yeah.
So the urine is lonely in the toilet bowl?
And if you had
unless the number two joined. I mean, this is bad music, guys. Three Dog Night.
Well, Jeremiah was my bulldog, and he ate... Three Dog Night dog food.
And? And how's he doing?
Just wanted to say that.
Why is he was your bulldog? What happened to him?
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
He was a bulldog, yeah. Jeremiah was a bulldog.
But he passed on?
Bullfrog.
He unfriended him.
All right, we got to do the shitty of the day. I don't even
know. I think the elephant meat...
We've got a prediction, I guess. Somebody's predicting this. That's a sad life when you're predicting cities of the day.
Yeah, Ryan. Well, Ryan
come
Ferris.
On, man.
It's city of the day.
Ryan
it's not very
Ferris.
Sad. And let me know if you can hear me.
Unfortunately.
Not too sad because I am on location
in Idaho
at the city of the day today.
Idaho.
We are at the... no, but... Fun fact real quick, I know you guys like seltzer, and Leo Seltzer, creator of Roller Derby, was born here, and at one point in time, L. Ron Hubbard was around, and if I'm wrong, I guess hell and a thing I can do about it, because we are in Helena, Montana.
Well, I wish I had a whipped cream pie to slam into the... monitor here, because you're wrong. I'm sorry. It's a good guess, I guess. I guess it was a good guess. Maybe it wasn't. But it's actually very far away from our city of the day. It's actually many hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away. So erase
well,
that
I
backdrop.
I mean, I flew all the way out here. Is that timeshare? Do you have one around here?
Talk to Vic. He's running a timeshare company now. No, it's not Helena, Montana. Did you guys play in Helena?
How did you come to
Never.
That conclusion, Zoomer?
Well, I'll tell you how I did. Doug, you know, I heard Montpelier, and I thought, okay, we're dealing state capitals, the least populous state capital. And then I heard Juneau, and I was like, that's what it is. I messaged Matt, but I realized that wasn't what it was. So I was on Wikipedia searching for any order of states, and did you know that the fourth lowest IRS contributions from a state is Montana? After the last three cities.
Well, this is riveting content, Ryan. But that
you
is
know,
not
Ryan,
correct.
That's interesting. That's
wrong.
It's wrong.
I mean, when you
because it was tax season, maybe I was looking into COVID cases.
Thanks,
I was
Ryan.
Looking into. Yeah.
I would say that maybe there's a correlation between.
I would not. And you know what? We have no offense, Ryan.
Trying
with
to
peace
change
and
the
love,
subject.
We have a much more important guest on Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Well, did we say what the
thank
city was?
Thank you for the
was?
Show.
Oh, no, Ryan, thank you. I like the way that your brain works. It just didn't work properly this time.
Try again
thank
later.
Thank you, Neil. I probably could say the same to you.
Well, so. You could, and people
goodbye,
do.
Bye, Trinity.
Probably.
Bye, Zoomers.
Good.
Wish me luck next time.
Thank you, Ryan.
Good
we'll
luck.
See
thanks
you
for
hopefully
trying,
in
Ryan.
Better circumstances where you didn't screw something up.
He could have won that T-shirt.
Man, you need one of those Family Feud
no
X things. Just like shame.
No T-shirt.
I just got a quick question for you. Bud.
What's a city?
Wait, you have
what's
to tell
city?
Us the city, Neil.
Who cares? No, the city is Dover, Delaware.
Dover. I've played Dover.
I knew it.
That we both played it. We played that on the 51.
Did we?
In 51. Yeah, we did. Did we?
I don't remember.
You didn't even know Dover existed.
Yeah.
Well, Dover, Delaware is our city of the day. The weather Delaware. In Dover today is a high of 84 and a low of 63.
What's the venue there?
I don't remember.
See,
yeah, it's called the dump.
At least I remember being there.
It's called the shithole, the crap.
Yeah,
crap.
It's called the urine smelling nightmare.
Yeah,
I did the Bend Over tour once when I went.
Bend Over.
First, I just played Bend Oregon and then Dover.
We did the fuck
Guinness
Dover.
Didn't care about that.
We did the fuck Dover tour.
Fucked over.
Hey,
I have a quick question though. How much did
fucked
Guinness
over.
Want for that?
Thousands.
1,000.
Thousands.
Oh, thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
So that guy with the fingernails that are a mile long, he's got money?
Apparently.
How's he even going to write the check
apparently.
With those fingernails?
If we didn't pay him, they weren't interested. Not at all. Didn't care what you did.
Nightmare. Yeah. Folks, we got a special guest via remote.
Look who
none
it
other
is.
And Mr. Bungles. Trey Spruance, there you guys know very well.
Yeah.
And he's here with us remotely from his library.
Since he was like 14.
14.
Something like that.
Wow. 15. 13. Yeah. 13, I think.
13.
And you guys have a new album out, and I'm actually all over this thing because I opened for it. It's a live album. And it's called The Night They Came Home. What's the story with this?
It's the audio recording of our live stream show that we did in Halloween last year, which was the one gig I had in 2020.
One too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand new album. I don't know how many albums we're going to be able to make out of this one demo, but it's looking to be about three at this point. Four. The demo, the record, this release, and something that we can't talk about yet, but four. There's four versions of this new record.
What about a single? You guys doing a single off of it?
I don't think so. It's been a year, hasn't it? It's over a year. No, yeah. It's over a year since we recorded it, I guess. But no, there's no singles. What singles are going to be? Anarchy Up Your Anus. I mean, I don't think they're.
We should get like some hot producer to do a remix.
We tried that once. Remember, that didn't work at all.
I do remember that.
And that was with a good song. That was your song, Retro Vertigo, and they didn't do shit with it.
Who did it? Marshmallow?
Yeah, who did it?
Oh, similar one named Flood.
Flood.
Oh, Flood. I know. Oh, I know Flood.
Never heard of him.
I thought you meant like an EDM producer or something like.
Sounds like
he's probably like Diplo. Maybe we should get Diplo.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Ugh.
I'm sure we could get.
Maybe we should get Diplo in here and just beat him to death. Urinate all over him. He hates me. I hate him.
And record it and put it out as a single.
Yeah, with his name on it, it would sell.
That's it.
What a swine that guy is. Just a real shit pig.
I bet he's in some Motel 6 right now. Floors.
I hope he's stewing.
Well, at least they left the light on.
So this new album, I mean, this is going to sell a million copies.
No, it won't.
Okay. Well, they told me to be positive.
I might, by the time I...
More, you think? More?
By the time I croak, I might have sold a million records of all the records that I'm on.
I've sold a million records, but they're records I sold at a flea market.
Yeah.
They weren't your records.
No, they were like Foghat records and Ann Murray, stuff like that.
Who doesn't want work. Who doesn't want a Foghat record?
People will buy them if you price them at 10 cents.
Yeah, eBay counts as a thrift store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Trey, here's an interesting trivia factum. Factum. You got a factum sound?
Factum?
I think he stumped me.
Here's a factum.
Play Jeopardy.
I mean, I got all the... Yeah, here we go.
Trey produced the first few Neil Hamburger records with me. Can you believe this?
That's a factum or a factoid.
Factum from like 1993, 1994, 95.
So producing...
Yes.
Producing. He went into the studios and made these records. And had a great time.
Was this before you ever did a live show?
Yes, it was very, very early on.
So before you ever did live comedy, you did albums.
You actually had an album.
You're the
out.
First comedian, I think, that ever has done such a reverse trajectory of things.
It's not wise. Well,
that explains it.
Yeah, the artists and the interaction between the artists and the audience, because they're live albums.
They're live albums.
Live in the studio?
You put out a live album before you ever performed live.
Several live albums, yeah. And we had an audience member, very popular with the listeners, a guy who yelled out during one of the jokes, Metallica, and that was Trey. He was the Metallica guy that yelled and ruined the joke, but of course it was all fake.
What kind of a producer just fuzzes out the microphone like that? That was really unprofessional.
So many glitches.
I think that the sight gags is the most interesting thing that happened. I think that was on the Drag City record. But
it was on America's Funny Man. We had like a 5-minute sight gag, the X-rated hot dog vendor. Just sounds.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it just sounds. There's no, you know, it's just sight gag. So he's not, there's nothing to work with lyrically.
A sight gag on record.
Yes.
Like an electroacoustic music kind of concept. It worked out pretty beautifully, I thought.
The scissors, the snipping scissors, and then the audience laughing. You're assuming the man's cutting off his own penis.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so, I guess maybe that was a tie-in with the zipper shtick.
Well, everything was at that point. Trey, do you have a question for these guys? Maybe these guys have a question for you. Maybe it's just, when are we all going to see each other again?
Yeah, really. Jesus. Well, I mean, if you do the 50 states in 50, what is it, 50 days?
51. 51, 51, because we did D.C.
Oh, okay.
They added right, that in. Counts. Yeah. On that,
I mean,
too,
I would love to see that again. I didn't. I missed that whole thing.
Would you go to every night? Be a lot of shows.
Yeah, did you guys have a roadie? Was there anybody who saw every single show?
Oh, yeah, we had a crew, but and we also put it out as a DVD.
You know? So it's like a 50 anyone follow you around set? Like fish heads?
No, we did it. We filmed it ourselves.
But I mean, yeah. did you have like people following you around? Like,
Oh, I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention.
Probably the ones who spiked our tires.
Yeah, the ones that spiked our tires after like 48 shows. But if I had to do it over again, I would start in Hawaii and then do Alaska and get the flying out of the way.
So, oh, that makes sense.
It wasn't until we were leaving the airport in Honolulu towards the hotel that I thought, okay, we're actually going to finish this thing because anything could have happened, you know.
Did you? How many shows did you do where you were sick to your stomach?
Not too many. We had a good connect, so we were never sick. Not too sick, you know.
So you had you were getting discount coupons from Denny's. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I got a question for all three of you guys. If some jerk basically approached each one of you separately, I need three answers here, and said, "Oh, I'm such a big fan. I love what you do, and I have my own band, and it's horrible. We're stinking rotten, and we just made a terrible album." And it sucks. Would you play a little bit of a solo, a guitar solo, or a bass solo, and we can splice it onto our awful music to hopefully spruce it up, and we'll pay you. We'll pay you.
Ooh.
But yeah, we're going to put your name on it, too. What's the fee for this? And is it even possible?
Ahead. Trey, you're first.
I mean, this just happened 2 or 3 days ago.
2 or 3 days. Name the band.
It happens a lot. Although there's a slight difference. They'll say, I made recordings of, you know, I farted into the microphone and was puking and, you know, it's fucking awesome, dude. You're going to love it. Will you play on it? Will you put this on your record? Dude, you're going to love it. I recorded in my bedroom. It's just like the shit you do. It's amazing. I get that shit.
Well, what sure is the price?
Shit too.
What's the price?
The rope?
Yeah. Bottom line, I guess it's a sliding scale.
Sliding.
How offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sliding, like the content of their music, sliding at a...
What are the odds that you'll just say, no, go away?
I'm more of a ghoster, you know? I just don't say anything, but...
if you didn't get it, you can't respond.
Sometimes people will really, really deeply offend me, and then I'll respond. It's either that or it's something good, and... I'll try to get into a working relationship with them, but that doesn't happen. That happens like once out of 600 times.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Are you willing to put your guitar sounds or your bass sounds in some cases?
Well, we're playing together today, so we're certainly willing.
Yeah, and he's not getting away for cheap.
No. What if it was Russell Crowe?
There's other ways to pay.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, what's the Russell Crowe price?
Does he have a band?
He's got a horrible band.
With like Kevin Bacon?
I think it's just him and a bunch of losers, but...
If Russell Crowe wanted to pay us to be on his record, I would say, yes, I'll do it.
How much?
Yeah, that's good marketing, man.
I would do it for as much as he was willing to give me.
$400 is all he's...
I wouldn't be willing to do it.
No. I'll let him know.
What's the lowest?
The lowest for Russell Crowe? Yeah.
One track.
Well, I'd imagine he has deep pockets. Deep pockets. I would do it for 10 grand.
Yeah, okay.
What about Billy Bob Thornton? Because he has an awful band, too. They made a whole double album. Billy, it's horrendous.
If you look at Billy, he looks like he's got a really good drug connect, so it might be pretty cheap for us.
But you don't take drugs.
No, we never would. No, we would never do that. No.
So how much would it cost for Billy Bob?
There's different ways of payment. So who knows? A sliding scale. It's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
What about like a game show host? Somebody like Drew Carey is doing a disco album.
Oh man!
And he wants a funky, like a Cool in the Gang type bass line.
I'd slap the bass all over that for, you know, like $1,500.
$1,500.
Wow.
For the whole album or per track?
Per track.
Okay.
I would do it for free just for, what do you call it? Just for my it'll help my career, you know.
Oh, yeah. Exposure.
Yeah.
Exposure. Yeah,
yeah,
great
totally.
Exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great exposure.
Especially considering now that no one buys records. It'd be great exposure.
They would buy a Drew Carey disco record, I think.
I'm not really aware of Drew Carey.
Good.
Is he related to Jim Carrey?
Yeah. I think 500 years ago, there was a relation, but the seed got spread very thin over the years.
500 years ago, the Carey clan came together?
The Carey clan.
Here's a question for all you guys. If a fan approaches you after a show and says, hey, I love what you guys do. You're my favorite group. And I've made you an apple pie. and here you go. Take it back to your hotel and enjoy it.
Absolutely not.
Who's eating this pie?
No.
Don't eat food.
Absolutely not.
I was doing a...
Straight into the dumper.
I played a show in New York once, a small show, and afterwards, backstage, someone said, hey, somebody brought you this giant sandwich. It was a huge sub. And I saw it, and I'm like, there's no way I'm touching that. And a fellow musician who shall, I guess, rename nameless, decided he was going to have some, and he took quite a few bites of it. And then he said, wow, the razor blades are a little rough, but the LSD is good.
Oh, no. And that was real.
Yeah.
The razor blades.
But, yeah.
Razor blades and LSD.
You can't trust.
Right. Usually it's apples with the razor blade.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The classic.
You could be the people, like when you're on tour and you're touring with other bands, often they're playing practical jokes on each other too. So like, it's not just fans. You can't trust anybody.
Mm-mm.
When Secret Chiefs was playing with Dead Cross, at the end of the tour, it was highly suspect. In the backstage area, they had this big cake, you know, to celebrate the end of this tour, which this was not a festive tour. It was really out of character. So you have this cake, and I noticed, like, I just watched the members of Dead Cross to see who was going to eat the cake, and none of them were eating the cake. And then, except for like really drunk crew members and stuff, you know, they would go up and eat the cake, and then I noticed that they were kind of snickering about it. Uh-oh. They tried to get some of our band members to eat the cake, and I warned them. I told them, like, you know, I know what's going on here.
Was it drugs or diarrhea?
You've been on tour with Patton before.
Yeah, you know the score.
Right.
Yeah. You know the score.
What was wrong with the cake?
I never found out exactly what was wrong, but there was they had hired like a sex worker to entertain somebody in the crew, which was sort of a joke. Yeah, and there was definitely some kind. You know, you talked about it. Where did you talk about it? Like we're having a contest with a cracker. I kept thinking of that. We're having a contest here with a cracker.
Something like cracker.
Let me ask you this, guys. This is our last question. I think this is a good question,
just
too.
Like when the Beatles had that cracker?
Would you be more likely to eat a cookie if a really nice, wholesome sort of person came up to you and said, I'm a registered nurse. Don't worry. I'm a good person. I'm a caring person. I love your music. I'm not a weirdo. And I've been working at the Dignity Health for 12 years. I'm really a good lady, and I have two kids.
It's always a good sign.
And I'm a baker on the side, and I made these cookies. They're delicious.
It's always a good sign when someone tells you that they're not a weirdo.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then, so
no
you
worries.
Have this, you have that. You've got this tray of 12 cookies that she made. She seems okay. But then you also have somebody who says, my band is great. It's great music. Here's our CD. Please listen to it in the car. What are you more likely to do? Listen to the CD or eat one of the cookies?
You mean if you have a gun to your head and you have to do one or the
you
other?
You have to do one of those.
I'd take the gun.
You just get shot.
I'd take the gun.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
Didn't we, Trevor, on Mr. Bungle tours, like way back in the era of CDs, people would hand us, you know.
Yeah.
What, 100 CDs per night or something?
Yeah.
And
throw them up on stage.
Really, yeah, they'd just be everywhere. And I think we would entertain ourselves the next morning, you know, on the drive by putting in,
we listened to a lot of them. We would call it Demolition Derby. Because we'd put it in, we'd scroll through a couple songs, and then we'd throw it out the window at the nearest highway sign.
And one of those CDs was Michael Jackson's first album. All right, guys, I guess we're wrapping this up. We've got legendary comedian Todd Barry here. You guys are off to record a new album this morning.
Yeah, yeah. We get the whole thing done in a couple hours.
Fuck yeah.
Trey, good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys were going to be together in Los Angeles. I thought you'd be all stuck in...
Right.
We're secret about what we do.
That's pretty good.
You have to with these cookie people and these CD people.
People are handing cookies all the time.
Well, Trey, it's good to see you. Thanks for popping in here. We've got a lot of great folks here today. I'm trying so hard, and I feel the disappointment from the back. These guys that are like, this is
radiating.
Not
radiating.
The way the show's supposed to go. It's like a sunburn on your back, you know?
Burning through your clothes.
Neil, you're doing a great job. I mean, the less we have to do, that means that you're doing good. You know, the less noise we need to make means you're entertaining the...
Well, I didn't like the noises, but then I kind of grew fond of them.
Bye, mate. Yeah, I thought the Danzig thing was pretty well placed.
See?
Oh, well, thank you. All right.
Good job, Doug.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah. So we're going to bring in Mr. Todd Barry now, who, of course, we all know from television, stage. I don't know if he's in Broadway plays, but certainly stages. Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming by our little soundstage here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It was good to have you, and hopefully, that's a reunion.
Yeah.
Remember reunion?
Uh-huh. Do you want to give away a t-shirt
a lot of
during
hits.
This transition, Neil? Should we take some callers?
Yeah, we're going to give away a t-shirt. Are either of you guys wearing a t-shirt?
We got some extras.
Vic's got a t-shirt on we could
swap
give
my
out.
Jacket for you.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thanks so much.
Be careful out there.
850.
Real dirty people that you got to stay away from.
Yep, just here to claim my shirt. Caller number 10 here.
Oh, good. Give us your home address, and one of the other viewers will come by your house with a shirt.
Yeah, I'll do that off there.
See you, man.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the t-shirt. And,
see you, Trevor.
Good to be here.
Can you guys play some real loud, crazy, raucous, wild music to bring out the legend Todd Barry?
Thanks, 850.
Is he getting a shirt?
Oh, you know what? We disconnected. Sorry. Whoops. Is Todd,
is he coming?
Okay.
Todd's on his way.
You want to take another caller in the meantime?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll take a call.
Someone needs some life advice. 617, Matthew Smith.
Well, hello, Matthew Smith.
617?
Neil. Thanks
yes,
for taking
Matthew.
The call.
Of course. I always have time for you. What's your question?
I just want to say first, you're a legend.
Thank you.
I haven't had the opportunity to see you live myself, but I do plan to next time you tour.
Well, you know, I've got a show coming up in San Francisco, California, ladies and gentlemen. We're announcing it here August 7th at the U.S. Mint. That's where they actually mint coins and bills and things. They don't there anymore. The building's abandoned. It's gone to seed. It's at 5th and Mission. I'll be there with Major Entertainer and JP Incorporated, and you can get the tickets online. I'll be posting a JPEG. But if you can come out to San Francisco, I know 617 is pretty far from there. So
I don't reside in Massachusetts anymore. It's a shithole place.
Well, don't say that to Michael Dukakis. He'll flatten you.
I'm back in Austin, Texas, but, you know, I wanted to call in. I'm not looking for another T-shirt. I have too many already, and just looking for the life advice, if you would be so kind.
I can try. I don't think I've run my life particularly well, so I don't think you should ask me. But what's your question?
I'm just looking to see, you know, how can I better my well-being in this crazy world.
Eat more apples. Stay away from the oily, sort of the greasy garbage food, and just eat apples. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And don't watch any stand-up comedy at all except for our next guest, Todd Barry.
Hey.
is one of the only guys that actually fulfills the promise of stand-up comedy by actually telling jokes.
I'm the apples of stand-up comedy.
I think so.
Yeah, I'd have. I know it's said you're a legend, but I'd have to say Todd's the bigger legend.
I'd have to agree.
Sorry about that.
I mean, we've done shows together and gotten a lot of arguments about that, but
I'd call it a tie.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's nice. Now that was a good sound. Wow! Can we get more sounds like that?
All right. Thank you, Matthew.
You guys have a good rest of the show, and I'm going to let Todd get to talking.
Good. Good.
I think we should have Todd talk to some more callers.
Well, I'm the first caller. I'm calling Todd.
Are we on right now?
We're on.
Because I don't see myself.
We're streaming on the internet, yes.
Am I supposed to see myself or it doesn't matter?
You won't see yourself.
Todd, okay. I have done many shows with you, and of course, to my way of thinking, which is the right way of thinking, you're the best in the business, and of course, always with the turn of phrase that I find very funny. And what I'm wondering is, with all the skill with words and all that, have you ever written any songs?
I have written, I actually have written songs, but I'm too embarrassed to talk about them.
Why, even to talk about them, not just to sing them? I don't want you to sing them. Well, I do want you to sing them, but you don't even want to talk about them, okay?
I'm going to get all embarrassed if I talk. I wrote and recorded a couple of songs. One was for my first girlfriend when I was 20 years old.
And what
I mean,
album?
When I was 16 years old, not when I was 20.
What was the song title? Can you tell us that?
It was called Old Lady Bras, and she is this girlfriend. She made the comment that she wears old lady bras.
Oh.
So I wrote a whole song called Old Lady, and I don't even know where the master tapes are. But
so if I offer to release that,
it's the first time I've ever revealed that.
Release the tapes, Todd.
Can
you
I
gotta
release
find
it?
Those tapes.
I'm kind of mortified, but.
Can I release it on my my vanity label, $1 million performance?
It is crazy that I would do that and not know where it is anywhere, like have no record of it. But then again, maybe things. I would be mortified if I listened to that.
Well, maybe she has it. Can we call her?
Track her down.
No, she actually Googled me about 10 years ago, and we went back and forth. But that was that. Wow, did I kill the show? I'm used to a live audience, and I know when to speak next.
What instrument do you play?
Well, I used to play drums, but not very well.
But, that's what they all say, the drummers.
But how'd you write the song? I was just curious.
That's a good question. That's a great question. I think I just maybe knew a few chords on a Casio piano or something. I don't even remember.
So it wasn't an Afrobeat number.
It wasn't a Yes song or a Rush song or anything like that. I'm gonna guess it was two chords and probably. Yeah, that's
well,
that.
Maybe a little later you'll do it for us.
Yeah, I thought that was Roxy Music for a second.
I asked the other guys about this. They didn't really have much to offer on the subject. But over the many years that you've been touring, and of course, we're all in that same boat.
Yeah.
Have you seen any notable decline in quality of any particular chain of hotels?
Well, I'm not going to slag any hotel chains, but
no,
I will.
You can.
No, it's not my style, but I'm known for not slagging, making waves in the hotel. But I will say I could tell you chains that I feel like in a way they're all the same. A lot of them are the same. Like your Holiday Inn Express and a Hilton Garden Inn and a Courtyard by Marriott. Those are coin flips as far as I'm concerned.
But 4-Point Sheraton is a step below.
But now there's like these something by Hilton, like all these quote boutique-y brands.
Yeah, by.
Yeah, by Hilton. I forgot why I can't. Moxie by Hilton or something like that.
Sure Stay or maybe that's by high. Best Western.
But, you know, I always stay at some place that's passable.
Yeah.
Although you and I stayed at a hotel in somewhere in Ohio, I believe, where... We got there, and the woman at the front desk was folding towels, just like putting them on this filthy countertop. She's like, "Yeah, hi, can I help?" Like, holy shit!
At least there was a front desk.
I know, but this was like a chain hotel, and I kind of remember what it was, but I'm not gonna.
The Baymont Inn.
Oh shit! I think you
said that there's now hotels that don't even have a front room now or a front desk, right?
A front desk? What are you talking about?
Didn't you say that? You told me
off
that
camera.
Today.
Off
I did?
That was earlier.
Yeah, I thought that would be interesting.
We talked about hotels. What did I say? I don't remember that.
You said that there's hotels that don't even have a front desk, and you asked to use WhatsApp to get in.
Oh, you're right. I did talk about that.
That was a long time.
Okay. I thought that was a cool story, but, you know,
I think that was in Oslo. I stayed at a place where, like, we're a rock and roll hotel, and, like, we don't have a phone. You don't need to call us, but if you do, text us on WhatsApp. Like, you're going to text the front desk on WhatsApp.
Wow. Do you remember how you got in?
I mean, they had keys. It wasn't like, you know, not everything was weird about the place. Like, they had doors and keys. But I remember there was no closet either. So I was like, kind of just looking around like, what's something's not right with this? And they had like these little pegs. Those were your closets. And oh, man. Don't get me started.
But this Baymont Inn, come back to that. This woman, we paid cash. Remember this?
Yeah.
And I said, can I have a receipt? And she said, oh, you'll get your receipt at checkout. Then when we went to check out, they charged us for the whole room. And I said, no, we paid.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you don't have a receipt? No, we don't have a receipt. She told us we'd get it at checkout. And they said, nope, you didn't pay. And they made us pay a second time.
Did we get the money back?
Yeah, we yelled on the phone while we were driving across Ohio.
Yeah, that was brutal.
That was nasty. And she called us a liar. Remember that? On the phone, on the speakerphone.
That happened to me at a bar once where I was with someone and we had just one round of drinks, and then the waitress came by with the extra, and I go, there's four drinks. And she's like, you had four drinks. I was like, it's infuriating. I don't scam bars out of two drinks. It's, and how did you not keep track of two drinks in a bar that's pretty empty? Don't get me started on that as well. Just don't get me started on anything. Really.
What I want to know is, do you think that with the COVID that's really ruined a lot of things, quite frankly, this isn't news, but it did kind of put a damper on some of the joy in all our lives. Am I right, guys? Do you have a sound? Do you have a sound for that?
Someone asked me if I was getting a vaccine. I said, no freaking way. No way.
You're going to die! Coronavirus.
Well, there we go. But do you think that the in the aftermath of this COVID scene, if you can call it a scene, that we're going to see fewer selfies and more autographs. Maybe autographs are coming back.
Oh, wow. It's funny that autographs used to be, like, I get asked for an autograph, like, once every 6 years now.
And they're better. They're better than a selfie.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a real autograph? Like, I have a contrived autograph that I came up with, I don't know, like 30 years ago, which isn't like, I don't make the T's the way I normally make a T when I write.
In case somebody finds your checkbook.
I don't know. For some reason, I was like, I need a cool signature. And I don't even like my signature. And now as you get older, you just kind of look.
Well, I don't like that. Because these kids, they're like, oh, I love Green Day. I can't wait to get a Green Day autographed guitar. And they pay $10,000. And then these guys in Green Day, they just go. This isn't something you want to display. If you look at Judy Garland's autograph, it's got a flourish. You know, they really put some effort
really
in, like,
right.
Your autograph, too, and mine, quite frankly. I want to be able to read every letter of an autograph. I don't want somebody going.
And think about the pills Judy Garland was on, and she was still able to write a full.
I walked by in New York years ago. Natalie Merchant was filming a video, and I saw a little girl come up to her between takes, like an actual little girl. And I don't know what she wrote on this, but it was like a 10-minute autograph. Like, you drawing her pictures? What's going on? Life advice, probably. But,
Now, that's a mark of a star.
Yeah, I think I'd rather do an autograph than a selfie.
Well, the thing with an autograph is that it lasts, and you can give it to somebody else. A selfie, nobody wants a selfie of some guy with a star they like, but they would take the autograph. Selfies are trash. Don't ask me for them anymore, any of you.
I like the eBay. You get the eBay guys who come up to you?
Oh, yeah. Those guys where they have the stack of shit.
Stack of shit. And they kind of drift into the show after the show's over. He's like, you didn't even go to the show. And then they're like, hi, can you sign 90 of these for me? And I was like, oh, you must be a really big fan of mine. Yeah. One guy told me, I go, why are so many of these? He goes, well, I use them to offset the cost of what? The stuff that you didn't have to print to begin with? Like, print one out, then you don't have to. He's pretending like it was a benefit. Like, okay, if you sign 30 of these, it bankrolls the one that I really need. But
the only way to defeat those guys is to flood the market with your autograph so that it's so devalued.
But also, I mean, I'm always like, good luck with that. I'm sure you're going to sell this really quickly. Good luck with your Todd Berry autograph. That's how humble I am.
You gotta start doing crypto autographs somehow.
What would that entail?
Todd coins. That way you don't have to do anything. It's all digital, you know?
There are those auto pens too. They're just like, you set the autograph in it. Yeah. It's like, dude.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Presidents use those.
That would be funny to do that, like at the merch table. It's for COVID reasons. I can't want to touch the
just
pen.
It's just like a weird mannequin. Right.
Just arm wave like to the person. Hey, enjoy this.
Have you had a thing? I've had this where somebody bought something and wanted me to sign it, and I got the name wrong. As I started signing their name, I had it wrong. So then I had to turn the misspelled name into
right,
a drawing, you know, to cover up what I've done. Suddenly they get a drawing of, Boris Karloff to hide the fact that I wrote to Karen instead of to Kate, you know.
My paranoia with that is I'm always like, oh, do I have to throw this out now and do a new one?
That's why you got to do the Boris Karloff drawing.
I think I will steal that from
somebody said do some drops, so I did it.
There you go.
I did one.
A horror drop.
So, Todd, you've been locked up for the last year. Not in jail. I mean with the COVID jail.
Yeah, I've been locked up in a one-bedroom apartment with a cat.
How many of these, I guess they call them online performances, have you done? Or did you just...
I probably did about, I'd say 15 or 20 maybe. And they're very strange. Did you do a bunch of them?
No, I refused.
They drain me more than a real show.
I bet.
It's just weird. You're just like, you're done and you're like, looking around, it's like there's your kitchen's right there. It's fucking strange. But they are draining and I can't figure out. I think it's because I feel like I have to yell because it's not a real, I know it's not like a mic where I can feel like I'm being heard. But they're funner than they're. I mean, I guess they're not that fun.
They're really not, are they?
They're
not fun to watch.
They're low pressure. Like I did a few that was like, "Hey, do you want to do a? It's a birthday party," and it was like a little money, and I was like, "I mean, what's there to lose? Like, there's six people on a couch in a
whose birthday?
I don't even remember.
Anyone
like
notable?
Someone just like set it up.
Nelson Mandela.
It was Nelson.
Wow, Nelson Mandela's birthday. How much did he pay for that?
I gave him a break. A
couple of Neil Nichols.
We had some rock and rollers here earlier, and they have rock and rollers on the show all the time. These guys were telling me, and we had a three dog night sort of guest appearance. I guess you'd call that a three dog night guest appearance.
One, two, three.
You must have some rock and rollers that come to your shows that are quite
notable.
Notable rock and rollers.
Three funny.
Slash came to my show in London.
The Slash.
Not
Slash Smith.
No, Slash. And I think he came straight from the airport. Then he tweeted about it. He's like, "Hey, Manchester, go see Todd Barry tomorrow night."
Yeah. With a big hat and everything.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the hat, but it was very obviously, oh, shit, that's Slash in this 100-seat theater sitting in the back. But one time I did a show in
You're gonna die!
Do you have a longer version of that? Because I was really worried that I might be
able to. I don't want to, you know.
Lars from Metallica showed up at one of my shows, like this kind of weird place in some outside of in the Bay Area, but not in San Francisco, in like a rec hall. I forgot what it was. Sally Tomatoes, it was called.
Sally Tomatoes?
Yeah. And then I'm standing outside in the hallway and after the show, and Lars comes over, like, okay.
Did he do rim shots?
Yeah, he brought his 30-piece drum kit. 4 kick drums. And 19 cymbals.
Have you ever gotten one of these? Really, I consider them a bit on the degrading side, but I would do it. Where you're the backstage entertainment for one of these bigger shows, and they're like, "Oh, we love this guy," and then they bring you in like a trained monkey to perform for these fucking assholes in their green room.
I got an offer to do. It was good, pretty good money, and it was literally across the street from my apartment in the East Village. It was a Queens of Stone Age, some sort of listening party, but it was just, no one seemed like they wanted to be there. And then there was like a raffle, and I just said, you know, I'm just going to do the raffle. I just did, like, it was not a thing where, like, I'm going to try to win this crowd over, because it was just like a mess of an unorganized party. And then I just walked home, like, literally across the street.
So you just read the numbers, essentially.
Yeah, I just gave out some, I mean, I made little jokes, but it was a thing where, like, no one was going to say, hey, man, you didn't do your act. It wasn't even organized for that.
But. I did a bingo thing for charity, and there's a lot of jokes you can make out of those numbers, I got to say, when you're forced to, you know?
I know which numbers you're talking about.
How do you make a joke out of a number that's not yours?
Well, I'm not going to do it here because I'm not getting paid.
I guess you've never heard the number 69, have you?
That's good.
Okay. Oh, shit.
But what if like a non-69, what if like a 32 came out? What would be there? What do you got for that?
Get 32, add 30 to 7 now. What'd you get? You got 69.
That's good. Okay.
You just turn it into a 69.
Can't be about talking about numbers.
Tim from beyond the...
Yeah, I think I was doing a lot of puns, you know. 22 more people just walked out the door in disgust at the horror of this horrible bingo event.
What about it? Shit. You've been asked to MC shows. Like, that used to be it. That was a time where they were like, hey, do you want to MC for these bands? Like,
no.
Can I do a show instead of going on when people don't want to see me? But
no, it's the equivalent of if you're a band, somebody saying, hey, would you like to come out and play half a song
right
between each act on this bill?
It's not like a band needs to be like, ladies and gentlemen. Like, they're walking out there. You know what's about to happen.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody likes you. People throw things. I had a guy who brought a big trash bag full of tomatoes to the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Just for you?
Yeah. Big bag, a trash bag.
How did they let him
and
in?
And got him out of the trash. He got him out of the dumpster. They didn't let him in.
Oh, okay.
He was at the door insisting on being let in, and they're like, why do you have this bag of tomatoes?
Oh, that's good. That's good security.
Well, then they called me over, and they said, this guy says that you want him to throw tomatoes at you. And I said, no, I don't. Get out of here.
Nice.
And that was the end of it.
This guy.
But that was his argument. Like, oh, no, Neil likes this.
Neil was hoping to be covered in tomatoes as opposed to just the clothes he was
Todd,
wearing.
Todd, did you ever open for a band and...
I have.
And it's not a good experience, or is it always good for you?
I usually do it with someone who's got a sort of refined, you know, like an Amy Mann or a They Might Be Giants, where there's not going to be a riot break. What's
Julio? Well,
I opened for, who else did I well, I opened for The Shins when they were playing under a secret name, and that was good. But, and I did, the only time I did it with someone I didn't even know was this guy, Grover Washington Jr., like a jazz guy. I drove to the Valley Forge Music Center, and they paid me pretty well, but didn't even meet him. Just kind of played to this confused crowd. But it was like I was playing on like a revolving stage that had 30,000 pounds of gear on it, just 8 times of bongos. But it was kind of, they were kind of like, eh, you know, we're not going to love you, but we're going to be polite to you.
So the jazz crowd isn't.
Yeah, they were not bad or
did
rude,
they
and they laughed a little bit, but I think they were more like, I don't know why this guy is up there, but they weren't like actively hating me, but they weren't there to see me.
That's good.
That seems like the kind of show, if I got asked to open for Grover Washington Jr., that would be all over my website,
but it's not
on your website. No,
I got asked to, this is one that I turned down, was I got offered to open for the Beach Boys on July 4th at Action Park.
What?
In New Jersey. And it was just like, I just don't think that's going to be good, man.
Turn down for Doug.
Wow.
And then a comic I knew did it and got booed off the stage. It's like, there's no way. It's a theme park. It's the Beach Boys. And I also got asked to do another show with, I'm not going to mention man, but they asked me to do 40 minutes at like an amphitheater. It's like, no one wants to hear a comic do 40 minutes at an amphitheater when they're there to see a band.
No.
Unless you're super famous.
I don't like my club at all.
I love pretty music.
I don't care what... I don't get the relation to that one to what I deserve. I feel like you're just one, pushing any button.
It's just a little bit
one
late.
One joke behind.
Yeah.
Thank you for not...
I got asked to do... to do 30 minutes opening for Bad Religion. Remember them?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't think that's going to go too well, but so no thank you. But then they came back and they said, we'll give you more money. The guys really want this.
They doubled it.
So I said, well, how about this? If you can agree that the bar will remove all the glasses and only serve everything in plastic cups and that you won't serve any water with the cap on the bottle... so that these things can't be thrown at me.
Right.
Then I'll do the show. And they did that.
Really?
Yeah. They did it. And sure, people threw some plastic cups and some, but it was fine. Where I couldn't believe I had this clout. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprised what you can get if you ask for it.
It was a strange request, but they understood, and they said, yes, we'll make that happen.
That's great.
Yeah. It was in Sydney, Australia, at the Horden Pavilion.
How many people were there?
Oh, it was like 8,000
people. Jesus, were you terrified?
No. No.
Really?
Well, because I knew that a plastic cup can't hurt.
But I'd be worried that someone would have a full bottle unopened, or opened full bottle and hurl that, and then it would spray you and
almost
be better.
I did get a little wet, I got to admit.
Did they get you a hotel room?
Yeah, was it at least a nice hotel room?
No, they didn't. But it was a nice theater. I mean, it was a big, it was a pavilion.
And the crowd was laughing, and you did well? I'm not saying you would, but I just, I would be scared.
Some of them were laughing, some of them weren't, you know? A lot of young, I mean, you're talking like 12-year-old kids, but they're the worst. I mean, they got the hate in their eyes. You think, oh, right. Look at these nice little kids. This is going to be nice. And then these kids are the ones that are the ones throwing things.
They're not going to be, hey, spitting. This guy's trying to do stand-up. Be respectful.
No. They just want to see their heroes, right. Who are really old. So guys. You got that. I mean, they're older than me. Bad
it's religion. Great that you had that, you got that request honored at a massive place.
It was two shows, and they honored it at both of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if they were like, we don't even, we never serve.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have glassware anyway.
Yeah, we don't have glassware at an 8,000 seat.
No problem.
That had to be it. Huh?
Yeah. And they're like, but they wanted to look, hey, we can. Know,
yeah, we did something special.
We'll try to make this work. I think we could do it. I'm like, we don't fucking, it's the way we do it.
But you've done things right in your career and that people don't throw things at you, right?
For the most part, they don't. Yeah. I mean, a couple of times it's happened, but.
During a crowd work show?
I did a show with Yola Tango in Knoxville. And someone threw like a plastic cup, and it was not like it hurt me, but it hurt me like in a disrespect way. And then there was like a line of people apologizing to me who had nothing to do with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were just afraid. And luckily, I'm not like someone's going, I'm never going to Knoxville because I'm. I go, no, it was one guy, and I'm not judging your whole city based on one shithead.
What led up to the throwing of the cup?
I think I was probably bantering, and he was just like probably taking it the wrong way.
So you're like, you pig.
I was ruthlessly versus completely unfunny insults that I was hurling at him.
Biggie! Hey, do you guys want to play a game with one of our Zoomers? Has a game.
A game?
I mean, let's leave that up to our guest.
Can I get more information
Which
about
game
the game?
Is this?
I forgot what
you
he said.
You could let
the
him see
is.
What he says and dump him.
You could dump him if you don't like him.
Okay. I don't want to be the one who dumps him, but
I'll dump him.
Can we have a signal?
Give me a signal. We'll dump. You give me a signal.
I'll be like, I'll be like, get this guy a drink. That's like
Everardo.
Hello, guys.
You there?
Hi. Oh man, this guy's got it.
How's it going?
This guy's ready to do this, man.
Yeah, I just have a short trivia game. If you guys are down to play, it's called Bald Win or Lose.
What's the prize?
I will.
I can donate like an office hours mug. I can donate an office hours mug.
I don't want a mug
on behalf of the show, or a shirt, or a sticker. How about a bumper sticker?
All right.
Let's play.
Bragging rights.
Okay.
Sounds like he's the winning.
So, whoever wins, I will mail them a Canadian toonie, which is worth a little less than $2 in the States.
$1.79.
So,
based on the rate, he's got it pulled up.
So I'm going to just read a quick trivia question, and you guess which famous Baldwin brother.
Oh, Baldwin! I thought you meant Bald.
Was referring to.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, Todd, I would never make fun of.
Just get on with the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So, which Baldwin was recently caught having an affair with his 39-year-old massage therapist?
Jerry Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin?
I'm going to go Alec.
Yeah, I was going to go Alec, too.
Sounds like something Alec would do,
I would
do,
have
right?
heard that about Alec, being a New Yorker.
Billy!
Points to Todd. It was Stephen.
Oh, well done, Todd.
Who then denied allegations and told paparazzi they're out of his mind and to God bless them. And then he drove away on a scooter. Well, that's Steven for you.
I think what makes this game good is the little story of what
the backstory.
Yeah, the little
hearing that.
Well, I hope they, the other ones have a good backstory too. Okay, which Baldwin brother has the initial HM tattooed on his left shoulder?
Harry Baldwin. Harry Mitchell Baldwin.
I would say that's Alec. Alec.
No, Barry Baldwin.
James. James Baldwin?
Yeah. How many are there? Four of them?
I think there's at least four.
You don't know how many there are? The guy who wrote the book on Baldwin trivia doesn't know how many Baldwins are?
There's at least four that I know.
Who got the answer right?
Did anyone get it correct? You have
no, to just no go. One got this one right. It was Steven after he made a pact with Miley Cyrus that he would cameo on the Hannah Montana show if he agreed to get the tattoo. And so he got the tattoo and was never given the opportunity to appear on the show.
Wow. So he's a real dumb guy.
Yes. By all accounts, I think so.
Well, who won? I think we're done. Who won?
One more. Can we get one more? Let's do one more.
Okay, let's
get one
more.
Is that a big book of Baldwin?
I was going to say, is that all full? Because we're going to be here a while. Here.
Look at this.
It's like a two-inch thick book.
Okay, which Baldwin brother said, and I quote, "Once again, I have made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone. You have made an ass of me for the last time."
Oh, that's Alec.
Three letters. A-B-A, always. A, always. B, B. A, answering. Always be answering. Then he goes on and on and on. You're a pig.
Oh, he's talking about his daughter, right?
You're a pig.
Yeah, that's Alec.
Yeah, that's Alec.
And he's using his quote. I'll always be closing in a different context with his when he's drunk talking to his daughter.
I think they all said that.
Alec?
It was Alec, yes.
Okay.
Did I win?
Todd's the winner.
I won.
Way to go.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Todd, I will mail your
It was worth flying out from New York.
Take care,
I'll mail you a...
My favorite Billy Baldwin moment is when he...
Thank you. Good luck with that one, selling that one to Parker Brothers.
Should we try another Zoomer? See if we have better luck.
Do you want to hear the Billy Baldwin story?
Yeah, we want to hear the Billy Baldwin story.
Oh, Billy Baldwin, he posted on like Facebook and Twitter, "Just spent the last hour with my arms wrapped around my giant 6'4", 17-year-old son. No phones, no words, just silence, breathing, bonding."
Well, he got annihilated on Twitter for that one.
What's that?
The comments on that one were brutal. I remember that one.
Why does that happen? Like, I don't
know. Wait, so... He's just hugging his son for hours
for an hour
in silence.
They turn the phones off. Yeah, just got quiet, and they just listen to themselves breathe.
What does it matter how tall his son is?
I don't know. Maybe he felt safe in his arms.
Why do we have to hear about that?
Ask Billy.
All right.
How
who's
tall is
got,
Billy? Is Billy 6'4"?
What's the next brothers-related trivia guy that we have?
Should we see if Haley, do you have some Baldwin trivia? You've been waiting patiently.
Billy's 6'2".
Should be Bald win, lose, or draw. You know?
There you go.
Lose the game.
Right.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Sure can.
Okay.
That's a nice pool you have.
Thank you. I am at the famous 10 Apricot Lane. In the Hollywood Hills.
Nice. It's nice to see the remodeling they've done there.
Oh, who?
Yeah.
Who famously died there?
Someone overdosed.
Okay.
A child died something in the pool. Like
yeah, a child died in the pool as well. Anyway, yeah.
It's not funny.
It's hilarious. But yeah, Neil, I was wondering, since you talk a lot about the musicians that you hate, I was wondering what some of your favorite ones are.
Ooh, great question. Ooh. I would love to, I can't wait to hear
well,
what
Well, the
likes.
Musicians I really like are the ones that retire, thus thinning out the competition for my sorts of bookings, honestly. But I also like some of the ones who are deceased for similar reasons, or that just are working a different circuit than I am, you know. Fifth Dimension, that's who I like, Todd.
The Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension is a favorite. And of course, when we've been on tour, we would sometimes play music, and sometimes I would play the Fifth Dimension, I have to admit. But usually I think it's best if musicians just stick to their side of the fence and stay out of the nightclubs, and you know, they can play the baseball stadiums and things, and leave the stage, the smaller stages, and by small, I still mean 5,000.
Have you ever lost people a gig like Todd and me. To a band?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah. Because you get a whole, you know, the hold system. You're like, oh, I'd love to play in, San Ramon, California. And they say, well, okay, we only have one nightclub. It's called Ramon's Place. Oh, I'd love to play there. How about January 19th? Oh, well, you can't do that. The slobs are playing.
The slobs?
But nobody, they're like just an awful, dirty band.
I did a show in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and it was poorly attended because Bell and Sebastian were playing in Durham the same night. It's like, we're fighting for a crowd, fighting with Bell and Sebastian for an audience, and I think they won.
I had that happen in Tasmania, and it was at the Pixies.
Oh, really?
Where I'm doing a show, and the promoter, and I get there, he's like, no one's coming to your show. They're all at the Pixies. And I'm like, but it doesn't seem like the same sort of thing necessarily. Are you sure? He said, oh, yeah, no one's coming to the show. It's Tasmania. There's not going to be a lot of people coming to town there, you know, to Hobart, Tasmania. Anyway, the Pixies won. We had about 19 people, I think.
You know who I had? My most recent experience with that is, this is exciting, Chicago is playing Tally Hall the same night as Tim and Eric were playing the Chicago Ooh. Theater. But I sold 90% of my tickets. Like, oh, man, I would have gotten the rest of those.
The 10%.
Can I curse? Those shitheads.
That's
were,
the first curse we've had this whole show. That's
fuck!
Pretty impressive. That
would be funny if there was really rigid language requirements on the show.
I had that with Thin Lizzy, actually, in Omaha. I'm doing a show in Omaha, and the promoter's like, no one's coming to your show. They're all seeing Thin Lizzy at Harrah's Casino across the river. And I said, well, the guy died. The Thin Lizzy guy died 40 years ago. What is this? And like, well, it's like, it's the drummer and some new people.
It's good that they blamed it on someone else instead of blaming you.
12 people is all I had.
Yeah.
He was right. And a guy came when I was sitting there before the show was about to start. A guy walks in and he says, Neil, I'm the biggest fan you have, but I got tickets to Thin Lizzy. I just wanted to say hi and come back to Omaha soon.
That's disgraceful.
I did a show once, Outside Lands Festival in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and Stevie Wonder was at the festival, and we were on at the same time. So I was performing, and I hear Stevie Wonder's literally playing like 300 yards away. And it's like, you guys, I'll be back. You should go see Stevie Wonder, man. It's like,
and they all left? No.
But I was just like, I won't be hurt if you don't watch me and watch Stevie Wonder.
I did a festival in British Columbia,
uh-huh.
and Alice Cooper was playing on a stage across from my stage, so I could see his show and hear it from the stage. So I told all the Alice Cooper jokes I had, and it felt very empowering to be able to tell the jokes basically face-to-face with Alice Cooper to say these horrible things about it. He didn't hear me, but still I was just saying everything I had at this guy.
You should have asked the guy with the bag of tomatoes to come back so you could have hurled them from across the stage.
It seemed like it was about 5 miles to where he was, but I could see him.
Well, that's a sizable distance. You don't want to get close to that fucking guy.
No, he's a rodent.
Did you transcribe any of your jokes about like Eric Clapton to be about Alice Cooper, or did you only?
No, I had enough Alice. I had enough.
How many Alice Cooper jokes?
Do you have Alice Cooper jokes?
Okay. I do. I mean, I have about an hour and a half.
You can do a Cooper. Can you do a Cooper
no.
CD of just pure Alice Cooper jokes?
I might do a flexi disc, maybe, of those.
I would like to see a box set of that.
All right.
Like
I'll do that for you, Doug.
Does
You've been
Cooper.
Very kind to me here today, so I'll do that for you. As I'll record 10 CDs of Alice Cooper jokes and release them worldwide. Sure. I will do it.
I'll pre-order one now if you get that going.
But you probably didn't do that to Stevie Wonder. You weren't telling Stevie Wonder jokes.
No, I wasn't. He's very talented, and I respect him. Not that Alice Cooper isn't, but I it would be weird if I was up there slamming Stevie Wonder. Well,
it would be out of character for one, but it'd be memorable.
Sir Duke is playing in the background. Like, that guy's not good. You guys came to the right place. You don't want to be watching the guy, Stevie Wonder, who does 3 tours every 30 years.
You know he can see, right? It's all a gag.
Oh, come on, man. I can't believe he went there.
Well, that's something you could have said,
Oh, yeah, that would have been
as part of the thing.
Yeah.
He's a liar. He's lying about his...
I don't know if I did this on Twitter or if I just did this amongst friends, but I went to eBay and you look at Stevie Wonder autographs and you just compare them. And it's clear that they're all fake because there's no rhyme or reason to any of them. Some of them are like beautiful penmanship. Some of them are scribbles. But there's no consistent Stevie Wonder autograph. You know, I don't even know if he signs things or if this is just a bunch of scam artists. They're like, who knows? But they don't, there's no rhyme or reason.
That's
look it
fun.
Up.
So everyone should they all be, since he is blind, should they all just be like random scribbles?
No,
and
I
there
think
shouldn't
he could,
be, and maybe the ones that are more penmanship, those are the fake ones.
I
listen
don't know
to
those
this
might
detective
be the real
we
ones.
Have over here.
I mean,
I watch enough Forensic Files to know that you shouldn't trust a nurse with a cookie. Anyway, sorry, Mr. Hamburger.
Thanks, Haley. We'll
thank
let you,
Haley.
Go, Haley.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Haley, for your question. Some of them have good questions.
Yeah, I was all right with that question.
Who would you like to tour with, Todd, if you could pick any musician alive?
Man.
Anybody. I mean, it could be Julio. It could be anyone. Who would you choose?
I would base it on whether I think their audience would not be abusive. So there's probably bands I'd love to do shows with, but I don't know. Elvis Costello, maybe? I think I know someone who opened for him. I think it went well. But I don't know how often he's using. You'd think he would use comedians. He seems like some choice he would make. But I'm trying to think who else. Who would you? Who's yours?
Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
Oh, that would be fun. Just...
I don't know. You know, sometimes I don't really want to do my act on a bill with somebody that I like and then just have a bad experience.
Right.
And then I just
and
feel
then
awful.
Like, oh, man.
You know?
You're like, Celine Dion hates me.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's best just to keep these worlds separate.
I know neither of us answered that question well, I think.
Or any of the questions, really. It's true. All dodging.
I could show you some of the comments. People are saying Danzig, Herb Albert, Dokken, Bill Cosby. These are just some ideas that are coming in chat here.
I mean, it was Dokken. Yeah, that's who I meant to say, Dokken.
Okay. We have get another one of these Zoom people. These are the lifeblood of the show,
yeah,
I think, are the
Zooms coming.
All right, let's talk to Krim.
People, certainly not the guest host.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Hey, Neil, thanks for the San Ramon shout-out. That's actually my hometown, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Of course. I wanted to ask you guys a question, actually. I've been living outside the country for the last 19 months, and I'm finally coming home next week. What should I look forward to?
Where are you
back
living?
Back in the U.S., give me some advice. I'm in Georgia, the country, right now.
Oh, wow. I've had Georgian cuisine one time.
And?
It's really good.
It was
actually.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I get it's to say stuff. I've had Georgian cuisine, so that's really the big
What kind of stuff is it? Like stomachs?
I don't even remember. I don't remember anything. But,
okay.
But
it's good. There's some good vegetarian stuff. They've also got walnuts. Some really good, like, wings and, walnut sauce.
Yeah, there was a good green sauce that I had.
Tikka Masala, yeah, sour plum sauce.
That is it. Favorite. Listen to that.
Oh, it's all coming back here.
It's all fun.
Now, where are you coming back to?
I like food.
I'm coming back to San Ramon, California.
Great where is that?
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. That's in the Bay Area near San Francisco.
Why are you in Georgia?
I came out here to be a ski and snowboard instructor, and I got stuck with because of the pandemic.
Oh, man.
Wow.
How
are you
long
related
did you think
to Tony
you were
Hawk
there?
At all? Sorry.
Just no, saying. No, but I've gotten that.
You've gotten that before.
How long did you think you were going to be there?
Like 3 or 4 months, and now it's been like 19.
They put you up in a nice yellow room.
Not enough time to add some more art to that room.
It's got one little.
The art's coming down since I'm moving out soon. Oh. So yeah.
You're gonna remove
what was
that
your
photocopy?
Now? What's to expect?
Yeah. What do you guys like? What do I need to get ready for? What do I got to prepare for back in the U.S.? What's going on?
I'd say buy the cheapest masks because you're gonna hardly ever wear them, and then just go out to eat. You don't have to eat outside. Are you vaccinated?
No, I have to do it when I get back.
Sputnik.
Why don't you do it before you leave?
Well, then he's got to get to some of the off-brand vaccines.
Oh, you're right.
They don't have enough over here right now. So okay. It's too tricky.
Well, get it at the San Ramon Airport when you land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did you get COVID over there?
I haven't even been tested yet. I got to get tested before I take my flight.
My advice is for you not to come back to this country, then, based on you're not even getting tested.
That's what everyone told me last year. At least get a test for around here.
Get a test. Why haven't you been tested?
There's no. I haven't had any reason to get tested. There's been no symptoms. It hasn't been hitting as hard over here either. So it's just been more mellow.
I would argue there's still a good reason to get tested. But
do you like Georgia? I'm not here to argue. Can I ask about Georgia? What's happening there? I mean, is it like the movie Hot Dog and you're like, you're just cruising down the mountain every day and then in a hot tub at night partying? Or what's the scene like?
It's been a wild ride. It's been amazing though. I mean, yeah, this place is it's a country that's like, you know, it's developed enough to be safe and relatively easy to travel around, but it's still like not super saturated with tourism yet. So the locals like really embrace foreigners and really like want to show you around. They have really amazing hospitality here.
Do you
so
have it friends there?
Hits that really good middle ground. Yeah, a lot of friends here that I met through the ski school that I started working for. So we just all went through this pandemic situation together, became a huge community, and we just kind of stuck together throughout all the shitty stuff going on. So that helped a lot.
Well, Krim, I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'd love to hear more about the shitty stuff, but we are.
It wasn't he was saying good stuff, not shitty stuff.
Oh, we're at the end of the show. To tell us about the shitty stuff.
Have you seen Ski School, the 1991 film, or Ski School 2? Yeah.
End of the show, Doug. We are.
I a yes or no question.
Get tested. That's my advice to you.
And Neil, I can pull up that that image for you if you like.
Of your
upcoming show.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Let's do the end of show plug. Sorry,
Todd. Todd, you got any shows you can have? Let Todd advertise a show. Come on.
You have a ton of tour dates. If you go to my website, I'm going all over the South.
Toddberry.com.
San Francisco. I'm going to Santa Cruz, Sellersville, PA. Nice. Where else am I going? Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida dates, rare Florida dates.
Everyone's going to have a chance to see Todd.
Evansville. I should have given you a JPEG of my tour dates.
I would have been able to pull it up on maybe after hours. If you email it to me, we can pull it up.
Or it's on Twitter if you can go to Twitter right now.
Or it's on toddberry.com.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, I realize the visual element. That's not me.
Neil, would you like to pull up your image and talk about your upcoming show?
I mean, there's nothing to say. It's just you can go or don't go.
All right.
That looks like a cool gig.
Yeah, I'm going to be performing over a tiny model of a mint, standing out, working over it, over a plastic mint.
Well, that's the show. Right?
Yeah.
Right, Matt?
Yeah. Come watch us on After Hours at patreon.com/officehourslive.
Thank you, fellas, for believing in me, and I believe in you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Todd. Are you going to stick around?
I am going to stick around. I'm going to pee first, though.
We all do.
Don't do that on the show.
Yes, Todd and Neil are sticking around for After Hours.
All right.
Patrons, and we might get a call from Italy, from Tim.
Oh.
On After Hours.
Wow.
He just texted.
It's exciting.
He's available.
Two fantas.